Well, let's pray and get started. Father, we thank you for the day you've given us today. We thank you for all you do throughout the day, the way you watch over us, take care of us, and just bless us with your presence. And we pray your Holy Spirit lead our thoughts, our conversation, and just be with this fellowship. And I pray you have your hand in this lesson today. And I pray you open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds to hear your word and receive what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. So our theme for this month, if you remember, is witnessing in everyday life. And continuing on with the witnessing theme. In week one, if you remember, Joe covered that we were witnessing through our behavior. And then last week, Pastor Weston covered witnessing through your excellence at your job and your work, and doing everything as unto the Lord is a good witness to others. Doing everything with excellence and the best you can, and doing it unto the Lord. So this week, the Holy Spirit led me to cover witnessing to others, face to face, one on one. And like the title is Witnessing Where You Are. And I don't think we have the screens yet. I heard a voice from beyond. Is it coming? Maybe. Well, we'll just continue on anyway. If the screens catch up, they catch up. But first, I wanted to start out with, what is the definition of witnessing? What does witnessing mean? We've been talking about it for 3 weeks, but what is it? And Webster's definition of witnessing is to see an event, typically a crime or an accident, take place, to see it. And also to have knowledge of an event or a change from personal observation or experience. And then the biblical definition of witnessing is essentially sharing the gospel with somebody. That you're being a witness to God and what he's done. That's more or less the biblical definition of witnessing. And it says you're a witness to the gospel. So what is the gospel? Do you all know what the gospel is? The good news, but what is the good news? I mean, a lot of people say they know the gospel, but do you really know what it is? Yeah, that's cool. To make it short and sweet, God put on human flesh, came, died on the cross to pay for our sins because it was a debt we couldn't pay. He was buried in the tomb and 3 days later rose and he's alive today, sitting at the right hand of God. That's the good news. And because I said to shorten it up and make it sweet. But Eric did nail it. So tonight I want to cover 4 main points about witnessing. And we don't have the screens yet, so that's okay. The 4 points that we're going to cover tonight is, why should I witness? Be prepared to witness. Where should I witness? And how do I witness? And I thought first we'd just take a quick look at some witnesses from the New Testament, just so we have an idea what witnessing is. First one that came to mind was John the Baptist. And he was sent and was born for the purpose of paving the way for the Lord to announce the coming of the Messiah. And when Jesus came down to the Jordan River where John the Baptist was, he goes, here's the Messiah, the one that takes away the sins of the world, whose sandals I'm not fit to untie. You know, so John the Baptist was the first witness to Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And then Jesus was a witness. He witnessed the kingdom of heaven to us, and he let God be known to us. He came so that we would know God. He revealed God to us. Paul the Apostle, he went on all those missionary trips. He was witnessing all throughout the world, first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. And then the disciples were all witnesses. We get the New Testament, a lot of the New Testament from the disciples and from Paul. And they were all witnesses. And that's what gives credibility and reality to the New Testament, is they were eyewitnesses to what actually happened. It wasn't some story 300 or 400 years later. They were there, and they were witnesses. So point one that we have, so why should I witness? What's a good reason I should witness? And you might say, well, gosh, I'm not a preacher. Isn't that the pastor's job? He's the one that's supposed to tell everybody about this. That's not my job. I'm not qualified to do that. How many of us have said that? I'm not qualified. I don't know how to do that. But you know what? We are. Matthew 24 told us, go make disciples of all nations. So we are qualified, and we were each created just for that. And we were appointed by Jesus Christ to be his witnesses. We can see in Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. And he said, that's Jesus, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth, the end of the world. Did you notice the progression there? First, he said, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, just right here, right where you're at. And then you spread out to Judea and Samaria. When you're done there, go out even further. You know, it's the same with us. We're witnesses. First, start out in our family, then go into our neighborhood, then our community. You know, spread out. We're the witnesses the same way, just like he was. Just like Jesus appointed the disciples, he's appointed us. We're appointed to be his witness. We can say what he's done for us. In Mark chapter 18, or 16, verse 15, Jesus again, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So there's Jesus commanding us, appointing us to be his witness. He says, go out into the world and preach the gospel. So we have been appointed and chosen by God to witness to the gospel. I like that too. We've been chosen. He selected each one of us for that reason. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 says, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our lives, or and tests our hearts. So we're not going out there for our own glory. We're out there to give God the glory and to praise him and to witness for him, to let others know about him. To those who don't know, that's what witnessing is. Joe pointed out to us in week number one, if you remember, Joe said we're ambassadors of Christ. And do you remember Joe gave us a definition of the ambassador, that we represent the king? We represent the kingdom. We're his ambassadors. What an honor. You know, that's in 2 Corinthians 5:20, and I don't think there's a slide for that if you're looking for it, Joe. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So we're his ambassadors. We're his witnesses. So how awesome is it that God, the creator of the universe and the creator of everything in the universe, he chose each one of us to be his ambassadors. He didn't need us. He didn't need us to do that. He could have just done it himself. He could make himself known. But how great an honor is it that he wants to share that with us? We get to share in that with him and do that for him. He allows us to be part of his kingdom and share in his kingdom. I mean, when you think of the Almighty God, creator, holding the universe in the palm of his hand, you know, and how big is the universe, and it's just in the palm of his hand, and little earth there, and we're just a speck on that little earth. How insignificant are we? But we're significant enough to God to be chosen to be his ambassadors and his witnesses. Isn't that amazing? In Romans 10, verse 15, the Bible tells us, "And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." There's Jesus, or Paul, actually quoting from Jesus, but Paul saying, you know, the feet of those that go out and witness to the other people. How beautiful is that? How great is that, what they're doing? They're going out and sharing eternal life. They're giving people eternal life. How beautiful is that picture of people going out, saving other people? And how will people know about the saving grace that God gave to us, that precious gift he gave to us, and that he came and shed his blood on the cross for us to have? How will they know about it unless we tell them? Who's going to tell them? If you think about it, we're one generation away from Christianity vanishing. If we don't share with the next generation, who's going to tell them? I can't remember who does the song. Maybe Joe knows, but one of the Christian singers sings, he's complaining about everything going on in the world and saying, this is going on, this is going on, this is going on. He goes, God, why don't you do something? And God answers and says, I did do something. I sent you. Yeah. So he sent each one of us to share with each other that we can save each other. You know, when I first became a Christian, somebody told me that was mentoring me, said that we can actually speed up Jesus coming back. We have that control. Because every person that we talk to, maybe God is waiting for that one last person. And that person you talk to today might be that last person that God's waiting for before he comes back. How do you know? So the next person you talk to, you know, if the more we share, maybe the quicker he'll come. I hope so. You know, but again, how will people know unless we tell them? In Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard, never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" So how are people supposed to know unless we witness to them? That's why we're supposed to witness. That's why Jesus appointed us to witness, so that everybody will know. Everybody will have a chance for that gift. Someone needs to preach the gospel to them. It says right there, how are they to hear without someone preaching, the last line there. So then my question would be, are you a someone? You know, it needs someone to be preaching. Are you a someone or a no one? I think you're all someone. Romans 15, 20 and 21 says, "And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand." So there again, people are finding out because of our witnessing. It's going to places where they might never hear of him unless you're the witness that talks. You might be in the job you're in right now because you're going to be that person that's going to share with the other people there that may never hear. I used to play in a softball team for Laguna Creek. Your brother was on the team. And one thing that the parents of the opposing teams, because you know these softball leagues are a lot of 20-year-old, you know, beer guzzling, you know, a lot of foul language and stuff going on. And one of the parents came up to us afterwards, because we were a church group, and said, "We love it. We look at the schedule every year and see when we're going to get to play you, because we know we can bring our kids and our family to the games when you guys are playing, because they'll behave." You know, that was the kind of witness that, you know, just having that wholesome life and being a good witness, people notice, and it does show. And that brings me to point two. Wow, I went way too long on point one. Be prepared to witness. The Bible tells us to be prepared. In 2 Timothy 4:2, the Bible says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching." So read the Bible and pray. Spend devotion time with the Lord. You know, the more time you spend in devotion with the Lord, the more prepared you're going to be. You know, you want to get better at the witnessing. Witnessing takes practice. And the more time you spend with Him, the more He'll help you out. The Holy Spirit will always be with you. In 1 Peter 3:15, the Bible says, "But sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Give your testimony. That's what it says. Be ready to give a defense for what the Lord has given to you. Share what the Lord's done for you. Your testimony is very powerful. It's the most powerful thing you have. Your story of what the Lord has done for you, it'll touch people's hearts. It'll get to people. Your testimony is strong, and only you know that testimony. So only you can witness that testimony. It's going to be hard at first, you know, but the more you witness, the easier it gets. I remember getting beat up a whole bunch of times with, you know, atheists or people wanting to put down the Christianity, and sometimes I'd, like I was talking to some people this morning, and say, I'd go out to my car after a discussion and go, "Oh, I'm sorry, Lord." I'd think of about 100 things I should have said that I didn't think of to say. And then the next day they'd do it again, and it would get a little bit easier. I'd have a few more answers, and then the next time a little easier and a little. And after about 6 months, I had them walking out to their car scratching their head going, "Wow, you know what? Maybe there's something to this. Maybe they're..." And I could see them changing. And I did notice that we used to meet every morning in a coffee shop to plan out our day for work and who would go where and all that. So we'd just meet there and discuss every morning. And that's where this happened. But I noticed these guys were just hammering me, and they could care less about the gospel. But I noticed people in all the booths around were kind of leaning in, listening to see how I was going to answer questions or how the discussion was going. So the word was getting around. So that's another way to witness. And like I said, it takes practice. And when you, the more you practice, the easier it gets. And I don't know, some of you that have been out at the flea market, and when you're talking to people, when you get into that discussion and you start feeling the Holy Spirit surging through you, there's nothing like that rush. I mean, you can feel it. You can feel the power of the Holy Spirit going through you and leading you. And all of a sudden, words come to mind that you go, "Where did that come from?" But it's the Holy Spirit. He'll be with you. So if you're prepared, he'll prepare you even more. Point three, where should I witness? Do you remember the progression we talked about earlier with Jesus telling the disciples, go into Jerusalem, then Judea, Samaria, and then out into the world? And that's the same, like I said earlier, that's the same way we should do it. You know, we should start at home, then your job, maybe the line at the grocery store when you're in the grocery store. I had one time where for a holiday or something, and they had lobster on sale, and I like lobster, but it was expensive. But you could, they had like a big tail. It was like $35 each, and I got two of them, you know, for me and my wife and some other stuff. And when the cashier rang it up, my total bill came to like $32. I go, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right, because I got two of those, and they were like $35 each. How is my bill only 30? And I said, I think you made a mistake. And the cashier goes, what? And I said, yeah, you didn't charge me the right price for these and the right. And I could hear people in line going, what are you doing? Are you an idiot? I mean, you got away with it. You should go. And I happened to be wearing a Christian shirt at the time. And I heard somebody else say, oh, he's a Christian. He's doing the right thing. Yeah. Yeah. But people notice stuff like that, you know. And it kind of made me feel kind of good when I, you know, did the right thing. I could have just walked out, but then the cashier would have had to answer for it. But more or less, you know, the Delta Market is a great place. Like I said, the supermarket. If you want to practice, the Delta Market's a great place to practice. You know, one of the best places I found to witness is on an airplane. You got somebody stuck right there next to you for hours, and they can't go anywhere. You know, you crack open a Bible and start reading it. They're curious. They want to see. And so then you start talking to them. And, you know, especially if you get the aisle seat, they can't get past you to get out. So it's great. The airplane's a good place. Just wherever you happen to be, it's just good to look for the opportunities. You know, you don't have to go to another country to be a missionary and do missionary work. There's enough need for the gospel right here in Stockton. You could be a missionary right here in Stockton. I mean, the people are screaming for the gospel here. There's a lot of people out there that know they're missing something and they need something and they don't know what it is. And we can tell them, we can help them what it is. So pray that God will open up those doors and give you those opportunities and give you those chances to witness to people. And you'd be surprised. He'll bring people to you. He'll open doors and he'll bring them to you. And look for those opportunities and take advantage of those opportunities. I don't know. Did any of you watch the Grammy Awards this year? No, not me either. I'm not a fan. But I saw Jelly Roll. I'm not a fan of his either. But he won an award for his album of the year, a country gospel. But when he got the award, and I have a link to the video if you want to see it, but the very first thing he said when he went up and grabbed the award is, Jesus, I see you. I see you, Jesus. And then he thanked his wife. He thanked his record label. And then he pulled out a Bible, a little Bible like this, and he said, you know what, there was a time in my life when all I had was this Bible and a little radio, and I was stuck in a 6x8 foot cell, and my life was going nowhere, and I wanted to kill myself, and I would have killed myself if it wasn't for my wife. He goes, but I knew that the God and Jesus Christ could save me and could help me. He spent the whole next minute of his time on stage at the Grammys praising God and saying, Jesus is not for any political party. Jesus does not belong to any special group. He doesn't belong to any person. Jesus is for everybody. Everybody can have a relationship with him, and everybody should have a relationship with him. You know, and I'm like, whoa, dude. He took advantage of an opportunity. And that's what we need to do. When we're given that opportunity to preach, how many times do we see athletes now? It seems like it's happening a lot more often. Are giving credit to the Lord. The first thing when they get an interview, they say, I want to thank my Lord and Savior. I'm starting to notice that more. Maybe I'm just noticing it more, or maybe it's happening more. Paul the Apostle, when he was in Corinth and going around Mars Hill, walking around, waiting before he's going to preach, he's looking around the city, and they had so many gods there that they had statues and monuments and things all over the place. There were so many. They actually had to outlaw putting up any more statues because there were so many of them. They had so many gods. And they were so afraid of offending a god and leaving one out that they put up a, a monument that said to the unknown God. And Paul, in Acts chapter 17, verse 23, said, "For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." And he proceeded to tell them about their unknown God. He proclaimed the gospel to them and told them the living God, Jesus Christ, was God, and he was the one that they didn't know about. Now, he goes, now you're going to know about him. I'm going to tell you. He took advantage of an opportunity. He saw an opening. How many times was Paul chained to a Roman soldier? Do you think that Roman soldier didn't hear the gospel once or twice? How many times was he in prison guards? He took advantage of every opportunity. He was shipwrecked and landed on a little island of Malta. What happened on that island? Everybody on that island got saved. He took advantage of a situation. He witnessed the gospel wherever he was in any situation. So point four, our last point. How do I witness? Well, speak boldly and with confidence. Like Joshua, the book told us, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. The Holy Spirit's going to be with you. He'll help you through. Sure, you'll take some beatings once in a while. It'll be hard at first, but it gets easier the more you do it. Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12 says, "Now, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about what, how, or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." You know, we're probably not going to be dragged before magistrates and kings and rulers and all that, but when we're witnessing to other people, the same thing holds true. The Holy Spirit's there, and he will help you. He will guide you, and he will give you the words. So don't be ashamed or afraid. There's power in the gospel. There's a lot of power. Romans 1:16, the Bible tells us, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." You know, shout it out. Don't be afraid. How many people did Jesus save? And they started jumping around and dancing and shouting. And Jesus said, "Don't tell anybody right now." But they couldn't help it. They had to. The woman at the well, what did she do? She ran right into town and told everybody in the town that she met the Messiah and that he was there. She was a great witness. Also, one of the ways you should witness is witness with love. You're never going to argue somebody into the kingdom. You're never going to argue them in there. Be loving, be friendly, be kind. Philippians 1:17, the Bible tells us, "But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel." And also in Luke 12, verses 8 and 9, says, "Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man will also confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God." Ooh, that's scary. So just be bold. Be confident. You can do it. So our final takeaways from this week, from this Wednesday, is takeaway number one is you are called and you are appointed by God to be a witness. You know, cherish that honor. That's a great honor to be chosen. Be prepared to witness at all times. And you can be prepared by praying, devotion time, spend time in the Bible, fellowship here, you know, coming to church, being part of a small group. Those are all ways to prepare yourself. And witness wherever you are and take advantage of all opportunities. And ask for the opportunities. Pray for the opportunities and he'll give you the opportunities. And then finally, Witness with love and confidence. Don't be aggressive. Be passionate. Be loving and be kind. Amen?
Amen.
Any questions, thoughts, comments?
Why do so many times people are afraid to do that? If you have that emotion, if you're afraid to do it, I don't think anybody here today is afraid of it, but you know, pray about it, because God will give you the strength and the power and the encouragement to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He'll go before you. If you ask him, he'll go before you. He's already gone before us. But it's not, and it isn't a matter of being a great speaker. Some of the most powerful people that I know that have witnessed to me are just soft-spoken. They weren't necessarily loud, they weren't bold, they were just soft-spoken and also lived the word that they were talking about. It wasn't, you know, they're telling me to do this and they're doing something else. So people see by their examples, you know.
Right.
And, you know, there's people I say, well, I want to be like that, they're, you know, have their patience, have their kindness, have their, you know.
I think we've all kind of heard the saying too, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah, yeah.
And look for opportunities. Like something I do out at the flea market is I'll look at people's hats or their shirts and, you know, or I'll comment on something. I'll say, oh yeah, that's a neat hat or a nice shirt, or, you know, it might be a location or someplace that, oh, have you ever been there? I've been there before. Yeah, just break the ice somehow and start a conversation. And you don't have to jump right in with the gospel right away. Kind of just start a conversation. People love to talk about themselves. Yeah. So start a conversation, break the ice. We have these little things, and I can order more if you want them. But this is a great way to break the ice. And Paula has gotten really good with this. But what it is it says, may I ask you a question? If you go up to somebody and say, can I ask you a question? How many people are just gonna say, no, get away? You know, most of them say, yeah, okay, what? You know, and then you say, has anybody ever showed you using the Bible how you can know you're saved? And they'll either say, no, I'm not interested, and walk away, or they say, no. I said, well, you want me to show you? And then this explains how you can go through certain scriptures and that, and explain to them how there's bad news, that we're all sinners and we're doomed, and the penalty of sin is death, but there's good news that Christ died and saved. I mean, this thing, this little pamphlet, and we can order a lot more if you're interested, but that's a great way to start, is just asking that one question. Can I ask you a question? Just break the ice. And once you get the conversation going, then you can kind of feel a level of where they're at and what their belief is and what their level is, and then you know where to jump in and where to start with the gospel. Does that make sense?
I've been put in spots where you would never think. Like, I was in the hospital one day because I was sick, and next to me was a girl, and she was crying, and you can see that she got like beat up really bad. So I start asking her, like, what's going on? So she starts to express to me about the guy she was with, that he beat her up and everything else. And as she's telling me all this, like, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me to speak to her. And so that was like, it was weird, because I'm in the hospital, everybody here is sick, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So then I began, you know, to just kind of share, you know, about what God has done, you know, with me and the things that I face and all that. So we ended up hugging. Pray for her. And I was like, okay, is this why you brought me here? Because after I did that, I felt better. I was like, is this why I had to come to the hospital? Because of her. And there was another instinct. It was I had COVID, and I was really sick for like over, you know, a week. And I was like, I have to go to the park, you know, just to get some air, right? So I'm there, and this elderly man and his wife are there in the park, and he comes up to me and he tries witnessing to me, which I think was cool. And he's like, oh, have you heard about? And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm a believer. So we began to talk, and I guess his arm, he's been in pain for years with his arm. So I began to share the things that, you know, I've learned about healing. So I'm sick, okay? My voice is raspy, I'm coughing. He's there and we're talking and stuff. And so he, you know, he asked me, you know, like if I can pray for him. I said, sure. And I laid hands on him and I prayed for him. And he got healed.
Wow.
He got healed right then and then. And he was very into the whole when he's going to come back. Like, oh, this guy said it's going to come on this date. And so I kept like, you know what? Don't focus so much on when Jesus is coming. Focus on what we should be doing while we wait. Because it says in the word that we do not know the time or the day that he will come, but to always, to be ready.
Always be ready.
So don't focus so much on that. Like, let's get as many people to go, you know, with him. And he's like, that's true. But the fact that I'm sick, that's the second time I'm sick and I get, you know, come in contact with another person. And yeah, he got healed and he's like, oh my gosh, I don't feel any pain. I was like, maybe that's why God told you to come and talk to me, you know.
It
and I just
is.
Found
He's
just
probably putting you in those spots,
right? And like
reason.
I've just found that, you know, I just started, yeah, you know, to talk to a person and they just open up to me, and then, you know, I share the things, you know, that God has done. And one thing that I've seen with a lot of people is that they're hurt with, you know, like with the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're angry. So I share my experience, how I came out of that, and how it's not about the church itself, but it's about God. You know, first before anything is God, you know. And then I share with them, and it's just weird how God will put me in certain, and then I'm like, okay, I'm here. Okay, all right. I guess, you know,
yeah.
I'll just share with you.
Yeah, and sometimes I've used the example that, you know, there are some bad churches. You know, you go to a car mechanic and you might get one that's really good and really honest, but you might go to another one that's really bad. And it's the same thing with church. You know, there's some really good ones, but there's also some that aren't so good that hurt people.
Yeah. But, you know, I always share that our eyes are not on others, you know, that are, you know, they're flawed. Our eyes on our God. He's the one who's good, you know. And if you don't take that time to really have that, you know, bond with him, then you're going to get offended. You're going to, you know what I mean? You will, you know, walk away. And that's when you kind of have to see where you're at, you know, with the Lord. But, yeah, I have been put in certain situations that I'm like, because I don't really like to, I mean, now I don't really like to talk to a lot of people. But somehow they just, you know, open up to me, and I'm like, okay, this is, you know, an opportunity.
When you were talking about being sick, it kind of made me think, you know, the gospel is actually the cure for eternal life.
Yes.
It gives us eternal life. That's where it comes from, through Jesus Christ on the cross and the gospel. So if you all of a sudden came up with a cure for cancer, and you could cure cancer all over the world, would you keep it a secret?
No.
Or would you want to tell everybody and help everybody out? And this is even greater than that. So why wouldn't you want to share it? This is eternal life. This is the cure for death. Anything else?
Also, witnessing doesn't necessarily mean that you're just gonna always tell people. I mean, yes, that will be the end result, to tell them about Christ, but also showing them the love of Christ, also being there when things get tough, doing things that you don't want to do, being an example to other Christian people, because we think that witnessing is just towards the unsaved, but witnessing is also towards our, you know,
well, that's what Joe covered in week one, was our behavior is a witness to other people.
Yeah, and when you take that out of your mind, where you have to have the perfect words and the right words or the right thing, you tend to put a block at how you're going to witness, and you just allow God to do it. It transforms what God can do in you for His glory.
Yeah, and you'll be surprised sometimes. You'll walk away.
Yeah.
Oh, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
I didn't know I knew that.
Yeah.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this lesson. Just thank you for filling our heart with your word, filling us with your spirit. And we pray you open those doors, open our eyes to see those that are crying and screaming for you. And they need your salvation and your love and your free gift that you freely came down here, put on human flesh, and went to the cross and endured all that just for us to pay a debt that we couldn't pay. And let us be your witnesses and proclaim your good news, your gospel to those who need it. And we just pray that you bring people to us, lead us to them. Let us see the opportunities when they pop up. Let us not walk by and just glance by and walk by and not do anything. Let us be observant and notice those opportunities and take advantage and use those opportunities. And let us give you all the praise, honor, and glory that you're due, because you're the one that deserves it. We pray this in your mighty name, Lord Jesus.